The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome
to LeadCast. Let's go.
Intriguing.
Immediately. He's gone.
Without delay.
Hello and welcome to episode 372 of the LeadCast podcast. I'm your host, Nick Deacon Cooper. Joining me, Aiden Frost Rockarts.
I was closing my door. Hey.
Slam in Colton Blue Basket Sweat.
I was not closing my door. I was just sitting here talking into a microphone.
You weren't closing your door yet, but let's hear that dog want to get in or out.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I'll mute my microphone before I go do that.
Before we get into our weeks, let's talk about our the show. We're going to be talking about the item shop cleanup plans that they have. New league patcher that's on the way. Medikaiser, a round table. A cheese pick. A little bit of LCS news. And three emails. But Aiden, how was your week?
I like how you announced every single one of those like it was a surprise. Like, we didn't know
it's
it was coming.
It's a surprise
next.
To me.
A Medikaiser.
What Medikaiser this week?
So I played League this week. Colton and I actually duoed a fair bit, I think. We had fun most of the time. We played some Sona, Tar, because we're Cancer. We played some regular... We actually played a lot of regular bottom lane. He played a lot of RS. Mm-hmm. I played a lot of Alistar and Blitzcrank. And then our last game that we played against a team comp where they had Kai'Sa, normal. Yi, normal. Then Tar, Kale, Soraka.
Ooh.
And, yeah, that makes me not want to play this fucking game. The fact that you can... Like, we were demoing them, Colton. Like, we had triple inhibit at one point, and then they just, like, YOLO Baron, like, fought us, and, of course, they have Tarik ult plus Kale ult, so they just run us over in team fight, and then we lost the game.
Yeah. Five seconds of mastery is insane. Where you just can't be damaged.
It wasn't even, like, me that was, like, super fed either. Like, Kai'Sa was doing pretty well because they had... we took really early inhibitors, so she's got free farm for, like, 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then Kale hit Kale level, so... Yeah. Like, their, like, gimmicky boost the Yi Kai'Sa strat became boost the Yi Kai'Sa strat, now Kale can 1v4.
Now it's time for Kale to join you.
Yeah, crazy. So...
Yeah, that's pretty disgusting, and it makes me not want to play the game. So maybe I'll take, like, a couple day break, and I'll... keep grinding other games, but I had fun playing League this week. I like ranked more than normals and stuff. Mm-hmm. Other than that, playing a lot of Sekiro. Nick and I are both grinding that out. I'm a little bit ahead of him, not by much though. And then I've been playing some Apex, I think. Oh, and I did my Overwatch placements. I got placed platinum again. Hell yeah! Nice. So then I don't have to play that game for another couple weeks. I don't actually enjoy that game. I just play it, get placed.
You going to tell them about our Risk of Rain experience?
Oh, fuck. We've been playing a lot of Risk of Rain. And so there's mods for Risk of Rain now. Risk of Rain 2, that is. Mm-hmm. On thunderstore.io. And we tried a mod where we got to... When you pick up an item, usually you just get it. So we've downloaded a mod that when someone picks up an item, all four of us get it. So you pretty well get four times the items. Actual insanity. Like, within 10 minutes of the run, it was just broken and none of us were going to ever die.
Yeah. We did that for 80 minutes before we intentionally killed ourselves.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe we'll try some, like, other, like, fun mods or something, though. Because, like, I want to, like, play, like, runs, but I want to do stuff. Like, there's a mod where it just nerfs the fire.
Oh.
So, like, make, like, fire do, like, 1/5 damage or burn for, like, 1/3 as long and stuff like that. I'd like to try some of those. And I feel like the game would be more enjoyable. Because right now it feels like you play and you play and you play and then you get one hit and the game's over. So, so that'd be fun, I think.
Yeah, I feel like there's not a lot of close calls. It's either, like, you're fine or you're 100-0'd.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So maybe we can convince Alex to download those, because I feel like he should definitely host. It was a nightmare when I was hosting, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. Colton, how about you?
Yeah, we played some Risk of Rain. I've been still playing some FTL. Other than that, just really League. Yes, we played a decent amount of ranked games. We were doing the Sonoteric and the Varus plus, like, Engage kind of support. I also played, I think, like, 4 or 5 games of Thresh, and he's real fun. I forgot how much I like Thresh, because I haven't really played much of him since I got Mastery 7. I really like playing Thresh. Like, just walking up to someone and they start trying to dodge your Q, and then you just hit them with the E because you're finally close enough. It's just the best feeling. Or, like, they're sitting there juking, and you're like, oh, okay, I'll just press R because I'm right on top of you now. Like, what are you going to do about it? But yeah, so I'm in series to D3 at the moment. One game down because of that Taric Yi Kale monstrosity. So we'll see how that goes. But other than that, you haven't been doing too much. I'm just like getting some, I guess, spring cleaning done and preparing for it to hopefully be warm soon. It was like 75 here on Monday, and then today it snowed. So that was wow. That was fun. So we'll just kind of see how that goes. How about you, Nick? What are you even up to?
Work and school, as always. Playing Sekiro with with Aiden. Is that a proper way to say that? Considering it's single player, but that's really fun. It's figuring out the cheese for most bosses is like half the battle, and so far so good. I'm still pretty shocked that you were able to get Lady Butterfly second try.
Yeah,
but I'm impressed. Otherwise, bunch of League. I think that's basically it. Played a lot of Risk of Rain, honestly. I think I put like 15 hours into it this weekend, which is quite nuts.
You seemed very lukewarm at the beginning on it, but now like you kind of have like gone all in on it.
Yeah, I still think the game like kind of sucks when you're playing it by yourself, but I don't know if that's ever going to get like any better, at least until there's an end boss. And a lot of what was like driving my desire to play was the gold boss.
Yeah,
like the gold shrine.
Yeah, and after what happened in the reward, I was kind of disappointed, so we'll see. But it is still an alpha, so expectations are pretty high for the game once it give it a, like a month or two. So yeah, I think that's it. So let's get into the Rising news. Well, first up, we have the item shop cleanup, where they are planning to remove some of the lesser used items. And I think the biggest key like phrase that they have here is that they want to remove unhealthy items, specifically items that massively reduce or remove counterplay against a champion.
They're not moving Zhonya's, Nick. I hope you know that.
Yeah. But what if? Because that's the only thing I read. But what do you guys think about this?
I think it's probably items, good.
Yeah, I think it's probably good. Like the item store could definitely use some cleaning up. And I think either like I think where it is right now, like, either needs more items or less. Like, because I think right now it's like you have pretty much the best build always, and then you get that now and then where someone can abuse something and it gets really, really, really strong. Whereas, like, if you have less items, then everyone's going to do roughly the same, and, like, you can't get those wonky combinations. Or if you have more, like, everybody has, like, a strange build that they can do that's really good. But, like, where it is now, you just get like that those one-offs. You're like, oh, this character is absolutely ridiculous with this item, and only him and 3 other people can use it. Like Ezreal with the double tier build, right? Like nobody is saying Man Immune is OP, but we had to change this because only one character can actually use it well.
Yeah. Do you guys think this includes Ginsu's?
I don't think they're going to get rid of Ginsu's.
You don't think so?
No. I don't think so because it's so popular. Like, it is the AD carry on hit build is like has been the meta for a while now.
What's the point?
I feel like they're going to get rid of, like, they're going to, like, once again, like, fuck around with zeal items again, because like a lot of what they want to do is, I guess the main trees that they mentioned, as Nick mentioned, were items that are like kind of unhealthy in the fact that they remove counterplay against character items that are too similar to one another, very low usage items, and items reducing or not adding any impactful decisions to the system. So I feel like zeal items are a pretty obvious one that feel, they still feel very, very similar to one another.
They do. They do. I think they're unique enough that they shouldn't be like removed, at least maybe changed a little bit is fine.
At least rapid fire. I think rapid fire zeal feels pretty similar.
Yeah, rapid fire. Yeah.
Or rapid fire static is what I meant, but yeah. I don't know. Is there any other items that feel... Sorry.
No, I was just going to say they serve different purposes, but they're not like unique enough, I think.
I can't think of like any other ones that are like super similar to one another.
Yeah, I can't think of any either.
I guess think, some tank
honestly,
items.
Like, yeah, some of the tank items, like that choice between like Randuin's and Thornmail to me always feels like awful. Like, I don't think that Cold Steel should be a passive on Thornmail, because I think you should be able to get them both separately, and I think that you should be able to pick up that Grievous Wounds on more than just like, I guess, Thornmail. Like, I think it'd be really cool if there was two paths to go from that, where maybe it was like health that you bought and then you could build it into like an armor or a magic resist item, because hey, one note's really not fun when you're playing a tank into Vlad top and you have no way to do Grievous Wounds against him unless he decides to auto your armor, which is just bad, you know.
Yeah, I guess like the main point of this is that they're planning on removing a bunch of items, then planning on making these niche items more like impactful. So they don't just want to add like a ton of items to the game, because I feel like that will be overwhelming. So they're just gonna remove some, then add some like better ones.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that sounds like the best way to handle it, honestly.
Yeah.
So, pretty exciting.
Cool.
Nice. What's next?
The new league patcher. Over the next couple of patches, they're going to slowly be implementing a new patcher. So that's cool. I feel like the current patcher is not very good.
There's some problems, but you know, a small indie company, so they're working on it.
Yeah, they need a new client again.
I feel like I haven't had very many issues with the patcher. Like, I realize it's not perfect, but I feel like there are people, I don't know, what seems like overreacting based on my experience.
Yeah, I think there's still like a really vocal minority and that most people don't have a whole lot of problems. But again, like, should there be less problems than there are? Probably, with like how big of a company they are. Like, they should be able to make something a little bit more stable and clean and that doesn't have as many issues. Like, it's not in a bad state by any means. Could it be better? Absolutely. And I think that that's what they're working towards, which is nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
Hell yeah. Medikaiser, who are we doing this week? We doing that? We doing this combo?
I think doing combos is kind of fun. It spices up a little bit.
Let's do it.
So, Colton and I, this week, played a game where he played Veigar and I played Alistar, and we think it's really, really good. It was all, I wasn't played, I can't remember if it was played or was almost played, it was like banned out in EULCS this week. So Veigar Alistar bottom is a very, very strong lane for a, I guess, multiple reasons. Obviously the whole idea behind this is Veigar can put down Cage and Ally can just knock them into Cage and it stops them, so you knock them in, it stuns them for the stun duration of the Cage, and then you can knock them up after. Well, also, I guess, charging your E as well. So you get, like, a shitload of CC. And also, Veigar is, like, a kind of like an AD carry. He's, like, a pseudo-AD carry in the fact that he needs to last hit and scale up kind of like AD carry. So you have that very safe early laning phase that AD carries are allowed in the bottom lane.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, a lot of burst damage and all-in potential with all that CC, and just Veigar's flat burst damage, which is really nice. Again, like with how strong I think like Zed is right now, as well as a lot of like the strong junglers or melee, you know, being able to get that mix of magic damage on your team is always nice, whether it be from like an on-hit AD carry like a Varus or a Kai'Sa, or, you know, if you're going to have a true AP meter top, like, you definitely need the magic damage somewhere, so this is just another way you can kind of get it. It's also really nice because, yeah, like, you get that safe laning phase. You can stack up your passive and just get lots and lots of extra free AP. And, yeah, I mean, like, I'd say it's pretty much, like, impossible to dive. Like, if you get, like, four-man ganked and they try and just run into a Viger cage, they're just going to die.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, it's a strong lane. I like it.
How do you build Viger? Because I'll quickly go through Alistar, but it's pretty simple. You still take your Flash Ignite. You're going to be taking your what's the Aftershock, and then you're building very, very regular items, like going Relic Shield, upgrading it whenever you can, picking up your regular items such as Knight's Vow. Zeke's is less of a priority unless you have characters like Yasuo, Jax, whatever in your side lanes. Redemption, Lockets, obviously Moby's Boots. It's very, very like very, very typical Alistar build, though. You're just with a less priority on Zeke because obviously you have a Viger instead of an AD carry.
Mm-hmm. On Viger, I went, you know, Lost Chapter Rush into Luden's Echo. Mm-hmm. As like first item that gets you 20% CDR, gets you the mana that you need, as well as adding on to kind of your burst combo. From there, you definitely have options. You can go into like an early Hourglass. You could go right into Hat after that. Depending on their team, you might want like a Banshee's Veil. And I think the really nice thing about Viger is that because he gets so much AP for free, like you can build those defensive items without really falling behind in the damage curve. Towards, you know, later game, obviously you're going to want to pick up a Void Staff, probably third or fourth item, if you haven't already gotten, you know, either your Hourglass or your Banshee is probably there. So, like, those, you know, kind of core items of, like, that Luden's, Hat, Void Staff, and then, like, a defensive item plus Sorcerer's Shoes are kind of, like, your core. I really like picking up a Lich Bane on late game Viger, just because you get to, like, two-hit towers, and you have so much AP that extra ratio is just ridiculously efficient. So I like doing that. If you're not going to be doing it, then again, kind of like your other defensive AP items are going to be good for, you know, if you already want your Hourglass, you could get that Banshee's Veil at this point. If you want, you can get a Spellbinder. There's nothing wrong with that. So that's kind of what I recommend. If they have a lot of healing, obviously a Merlin Omicron would be a good pickup early, probably right after your Luden's, because you want to get that as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm. I guess the other thing to mention is when you are playing this, the only counters to this lane, in my opinion, are Sivir and Ezreal. I guess and Morgana is the only support. I usually just ban out Ezreal. I feel like Sivir is not the worst thing you can play against, but those are the only two AD carries that can, I guess, safely get out of a cage out of all of them. So I feel like as long as you get those two characters out of the game, I feel like you have a pretty free laning phase, honestly. Yeah. It kind of transitions pretty easily to mid.
I would say, honestly, it's more important, yeah, the Ezreal and the Morgue, because, like, the Sivir, if Alistar's close enough and she spell shields, she's going to spell shield either his headbutt, and then he just pulverizes and still gets the CC, or she doesn't, and then she gets popped into the wall, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think either way there, she's kind of screwed, so.
Yeah. I just feel like it's really, really strong. I like playing these, like, I still typically feel like playing AD carries is boring for the most part. I feel like watching you play Varus makes me more interested in AD carry, but that's because he's more of a caster in a way. But man, I feel like playing these, like, mage support bottom lanes are just way more, like, interesting and interactive.
Get those awesome dudes back.
Hell yeah.
Definitely in lane. Like, I think it's still pretty difficult for people to play against things that aren't AD carry spot, and I think maybe that helps to make it an easier, like, lane, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. I just like having more action. You're not going to see too many, like, I guess non-AD carry bottom lanes that play, like, extremely passive, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice. Round table.
Hell yeah. So, last week's question was, you wake up in bed beside the last champion you played. What's the story? We got one Facebook response, because Facebook algorithms are really, really weird. I posted it at the exact same time as last week, Nick. Actually, 3 minutes earlier. My apologies. Posted at 7:46 instead of 7:43. I put it at 7:43 instead of 7:46, right?
Mm-hmm.
Last week got, I think, 17 responses or something like that. This week, one.
Yeah.
Because Facebook algorithms...
awful.
Yeah, it's It's literally a game to like pay the money to show them to your audience.
Yeah, you have to pay money for people to see the things that they signed up to see.
And there is things like I do know, like, obviously at certain times you'll have more audience of your audience see it and stuff like that, right? If you post it late at night, maybe people won't see it. It won't be a priority in their feed the next day or whatever.
Sure.
But I posted it literally 3 minutes earlier. And the huge difference. It was the difference between, I think, 260 people seeing it or like 800 and something people seeing it.
Oof.
So, I don't know. Wow. Facebook fucks you sometimes. Mm-hmm. So anyways, from our Facebook, our one answer was from Brian. He said, well, it depends on the skin she's in, but Nico. I thought that was a really good answer. Best answer on Facebook of the week. From our Discord, holy fuck, dude, our Discord was a very interesting place.
It was popping.
A lot of the answers I didn't take for reasons. be sure to check them out yourself. From Butt Stuff, he said, while I was on vacation in Iceland, I decided to check out a rave. Then I saw him swinging and throwing his giant glow sticks. Next thing I know, I'm waking up next to my techno Viking boyfriend, Olaf.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. That sounds great. Matatu Mayhem. It would be a freaky night, tentacles all around, her muttering how much stronger she is than most men. Awkward. from Basically Cancer said, probably a bumpy and clumsy night. Blind men aren't known for their precision in bed. I disagree.
Yeah, I was going to say, really?
I feel like they'd be doing great.
Yeah, I think blind men may be better because they would use their sense of touch instead of their eyes.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah, dude. Ladies. Like
the lights go out. They're just used to that, right? They're at home field advantage.
True.
That's toxic. Edge of the Fable Abyss said, I wake up in Soviet Russia next to all the bear. In Soviet Russia, you don't do bear. Bear does you.
Oh my God.
Good old bestiality. Bunty said, our last but not least answer of the week, went to a bar. This weird dude with a big grin slipped some 2-shiv poison into my drink, causing me to hallucinate 2 of him. I thought I was getting a threesome, but I was deceived. Next morning, I thought we were going to get some grub at Jack in the Box, but he disappeared in a puff of orange smoke. That's like a well-crafted nice. Answer.
That's a good yeah. answer, yeah.
He's a wordsmith. Imagine if I didn't put 2 Fs on that.
Wordsmith. Will oh, well. Smith the wordsmith.
Perfect. How bad would it feel if after a night with Lisa and he was just like, blindness is no impairment against a smelly enemy?
Aww.
Yeah.
Anyways, if you want to send us your roundtable questions, post on our Facebook page sometime after 7:43. It's at LeagueCast. You can send us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com, or you can come into our roundtable section in our Discord and post in there. It gets a little bit crazy, though.
What if we just boycotted Facebook?
No, I don't think that's a good idea. We have a lot of likes on there.
Yeah, we do. Nice. This week's roundtable
is... What should Riot do next year for April Fools? Because I forgot about last week. So, because it's almost like they did nothing this year.
It wasn't much.
The cat and dog thing, and then they had
the cats and dogs. Yeah, the bark.
Oh, that's the second year in a row they've done like something with all chat, and it's not very funny.
Yeah.
So what should they do next year?
What if they just turned League of Legends off and didn't say anything?
Ooh.
Just like didn't address it, didn't put out a like, this is our April Fools, and then on April 2nd they just resume as normal.
What do you think about a company as big as Riot trying to make some sort of like political message? Like I'm not trying to push any political agendas or like suggest anything, but say there's an issue going on in like the gaming community and they just turn off League for the day and just have like a notice like addressing that issue. Because I'm not sure if you went to
r/gaming.
r/games, yeah, did that about
yeah
a bunch of stuff. And I thought that was interesting. I feel like people were like mad about it the next day when like there was like the post discussing it.
Yeah.
Because they're like, I don't really care. I just want my gaming news. So I feel like a lot of people who played League would be like that too, which I understand, right? But that would be a huge move for a company that big to do.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think, like, by all means, this is their own private product. Go for it. But mm-hmm. taking a political stance like that can be detrimental to a portion of their audience, whether it's a good stance or a bad stance.
Also, doing it on April Fool's feels weird, too.
Probably going to take a hit on the bottom line if they try that. That being said,
No, no, go ahead. I'm going to take this in a different direction.
Okay. Well, I've got an answer for what Raya should do next year for April Fool's, okay? So, the first ranked game you go into on April Fool's, it sends you to, like, a different queue where, like, the first 3 minutes of the game is as normal, and then it just turns into Earth. So, like, you feel like you're in a ranked game for, like, 3 minutes, and it just turns into Earth, and it's just like, haha, fooled.
You got pranked. What if every minute you got, like, 1% additional cooldown reduction?
Ooh.
Uncapped.
Yeah, uncapped. That could actually, so like, that'd be really funny.
The game goes on to 30 minutes and you're sitting at like 70% cooldown reduction. You're like, what is happening?
That'd actually be sick.
Yeah, that'd like something cool. subtle like that would be really funny.
And I feel like it, like, unless you were looking at it, it would be subtle enough not to notice until it was like too late. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
If I could expand on that, I feel like that would be awesome where they had, like, say, 10 different presets for, like, weird things that would happen. Like, I think it would all be scaling things. Like, you'd have a scaling CDR game, a scaling movement speed game, just slowly, like, every minute you gain, like, an extra, like, 10 movement speed or something like that.
That'd be so funny, yeah.
So, by 30 minutes, you have 300 bonus movement speed, and everyone is just so fast.
What about, like, every 3 to 5 minutes, you're just given a random item?
Yeah, like shit like that would be so much fun. Honestly.
Nuts. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I got a Trinity Force. This game is over.
Yeah.
Like, and it, like, I feel like you don't even have to make a separate queue for it. Just do it in normals, right? Obviously, don't do it in fucking ranked. But, like,
only do it
in ranked. If people get upset about their normal games being ruined, take a day off.
Yeah. Ban them.
Oh, that'd be so good if we could just have scaling. Oh, just random shit. Random items, scaling.
Now,
would
you want it for, like, every player in the game got the same things, like everyone is going real fast, or it was just like it had this pool of stats and it's like each person on the team gets a separate role. Like, our jungler got scaling movement speed, but our AD carry got scaling HP.
I'd rather have it, everyone have it, but like have it, have it so it's random up every game. So
so it's different each game. Yeah.
Pick your characters around it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if every time you used an ability, it just randomly used any ability from League? Like, you press Q, any random Q happens. You're like, please, I'm praying for a Syndra Q.
I think if they were going to do something like that, then they'd have to just, like, make it a character and be like, this is, like, Joe, and he's just, like, a really nondescript, like, regular guy. And then it's just, like, a random ability on everything for him. It's just, like, when you play Joe, you can get abilities from any character. Look at this Q, and it's just, like, you know, okay, that's a Syndra Q. And he, like, casts W, and it's, like, a fucking bush appears because it's Ivern.
It's Joe the understudy.
Joe the understudy, perfect. Trademark that shit.
That actually be a lot of fun. Yeah, just everyone plays Joe the understudy and all your abilities are just random ones from the 140 characters.
It'd be so hard to program, though. Holy shit.
Would it be? I feel like it wouldn't be that difficult.
I feel like Riot's spaghetti code has made things in the past pretty difficult. Like, it was hard enough to make Sylas ult work for them.
Was it? I thought that they did a really good job with Sylas.
I think they did a really good job, but I think they've been working on that for like 4 years.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, they've been like, if you watch like any of the dev blogs, they were like, this has been a like idea we've had for a really long time, but like the technology aspect of it has always been really limiting.
Oh, I see. Okay, maybe it is hard then.
I would love it to play that Joe character though, Nick. Get your pre-made 5 everyone playing Joe, and then you don't use abilities and you just like build like a attack speed like 80. And you just ruin game modes, you know what I mean?
Like, split push and go AD carry.
Because I've always loved the idea of, like, Riot making fun game modes and then just ruining it for other people. Like, I always pitch this one game mode of you can build your team comp with however many, like, types of characters. It's like when Overwatch has the, like, no limits mode. So you can put, like, 3 Tracers on a team, whatever, right? So people do gimmicky shit like, oh, let's play, like,
build a normal team comp.
But yeah, then you just build a normal team comp and they play some gimmick and you just fucking roll them. Like, that would be my favorite thing in the world, right? Like, everyone's trying out, like, we're going to play triple Alistar, double Blitzcrank. And you just roll fucking regular team comp and just stomp them. Like, I love so that idea. Funny. Dude, people would be so mad.
People would be pretty mad. I'd be mad if that happened.
So, question for you. If Joe the Understudy was in the game next April Fool's, would it be that mm-hmm. every time you cast the ability it's random, or just like at the beginning you get assigned like a random QWE and R?
I think realistically
it'd probably have to be like just one at the beginning of the game.
What, every single time you died?
Oh,
it re-rolls them.
That'd be pretty fun. Or like either that or like every time you like level your ult or something. I don't know.
Every time you kill someone or die. So if you kill someone in the middle of the fight, you have to readapt.
I like the idea of just casting an ability and not knowing what's like what it is.
I feel like either one would be fun though.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be so funny though. Like you go and you like flash Q and you're like, uh-oh. That was that wasn't the Q I was hoping for.
Yeah. Oh, this is a Leona Q. Did you happen to see that guy's manifesto, by the way, Aiden? In response to that?
No, I didn't.
Okay. It's probably not worth a read, but it's so scary, dude, that people actually think this way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was in response to that r/games thing.
Yeah.
Cheese pick.
All right. This week we got another spicy pairing for the bot lane. Cause you know, sometimes you just want to combine things and make them work. So we're going to pair up a classic bot laner in Thresh with our boy Lee Sin, the blind monk, right? So we all know about Lee Syndrome, where you land the Q and you just want to follow up and dive in. Well, Thresh has a very similar thing. When you land the hook, you can choose to follow or not. And a lot of players just follow no matter what without really considering it. But that's okay if you have a Lee Sin to back you up, because he's just going to hop on that lantern or safeguard to you and then kick their goddamn head off. And that's basically the lane, is you just dive in, you kill him, you're really mobile. Like, if the Lee Sin queues in, he can take the W to a lantern out at an insane range. You've got a lot of early game pressure, a good amount of CC, and I think you don't scale crazy well as, like, an AD carry Lee Sin, but I think you can stomp hard enough, especially with, like, a double Targon start where you can push that wave in, that it could probably be pretty effective. So that's the cheese. Aiden, thoughts? Are you bringing this to a ranked game near you?
You definitely combine two things. I think it's not the worst. I feel like Lee Sin's one of the better, like, gimmicky, like, killing bottom laners.
Yeah.
Nice. Awesome.
Nice you.
LCS section.
Hey. So.
100.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
100 Thieves released Tuhi. Probably the best decision they've made.
Probably. On the other hand, I don't think Tuhi was their biggest problem.
I mean, it's not, but I feel like they had to make some changes.
Yeah, they did. They did. In my foolishness, I chose to believe that the bang tweet was real.
So. You were so mad. You're like, that's so disrespectful.
Well, it's like, it's okay. It certainly is disrespectful. It's not true. So my distaste was misplaced. But
The tweet, by the way, if anyone was I left a tweet in our Discord, which was from Bang's account, and it was like the crab emoji, who he is gone crab emoji. Mm-hmm. And Nick goes, feels bad, man. Who he deserved better. I mean, I just does anyone think 100 Thieves is instantly going to become a top tier because they dropped Huhi? Just seems very unprofessional regarding a player who, as far as we know, has zero character issues and one of the easiest players to work with.
It's true, though.
Oh, he's so cute defending his Huhi.
Hey, I'd love to see him on CLG Academy.
Yeah. Who do you think they're going to pick up as their mid? Golden Glow, maybe?
I mean, I think Power of Evil will probably stay there, honestly.
No, I mean, for, like, 100 Thieves.
Oh, for 100 Thieves?
They dropped their mid lane.
Yeah, well, duh. Golden Glue has said he would rather play on Academy for a winning team than play, like, as a starter for a losing team. So yeah, I doubt it's Golden Glue.
He's too complacent, though. You're never going to go anywhere with your career if you just sit on an academy team, though.
No, I mean, but I think he's fine with that. Like, I think he's happy to be where he's at, and like whatever he's making from streaming and like doing well in academy games and like playing with those people. Like, I think it's just like a lower stress, but I still get to play games. That's kind fair. Of thing. Like, I could totally see that as like either, you know, someone who doesn't think they're good enough or just doesn't want the stress, or maybe, you know, like people who are quote unquote washed up, right? Like, if any pro player, like, I don't know, in like a couple of years or something, if Bjergsen's like, hey, I don't really want to play in LCS anymore, like, I'll just be like really good on an academy team so I can keep playing League, but like, in reality, this isn't what I'm actually want to put all my time into.
Yeah. Cool.
I don't know. I bet they just pull up someone from NA Challenger.
Yeah.
Someone that we haven't heard of before.
Yeah. And in other news, we have the LCS and LEC quarterfinals that happened. So in LEC, which I actually watch, surprisingly, Fnatic 3-1 Splice and G2 3-0 Origin. I thought those were actually pretty interesting games. I feel like the Fnatic series was more interesting than a G2 series. The G2 series kind of felt like stompy after the first game.
Yeah, the first game was rather close, and then every other game was just not.
Yeah. I just feel like G2 is like actually like might be the best team in the West right now.
Yeah, they are. I really hope Fnatic upsets them.
I like Fnatic still more, though, but like a lot.
Yeah, especially after all the like hate that Reckless received.
Mm-hmm.
Like at the start of the split when they were, what, 0-4?
Yeah, they fucking turned it around real hard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I do like the whole like perks caps thing on G2. That's like the only thing I really like. I like that a player who's really fucking good at mid can just go, oh, we have another really good mid player that wants to join our team? Yeah, I'll role swap so we can have like...
Yeah, that is really cool.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So anyways, they're doing the other format that we were talking about a couple weeks ago where... Even though Origin lost, Origin's moving to semifinals against Fnatic, whereas G2's like obviously had first seed, so they're going right to finals. So it's going to be Fnatic, Origin, then the winner plays G2.
I don't know if I'm a fan of that.
It's weird. It just means that you can like if Origin beats Fnatic here, it's weird because they lost a set and then they're still in finals, right?
Yeah, against the same exact team that they already lost to in playoffs.
Yeah. I don't think that will happen, so I don't think it really matters. I guess, like, the whole point is no matter what in finals, you'll always have the two best teams.
I mean...
That's the purpose, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Which...
But, do we think... I guess this scenario doesn't work. I was going to say, do we think Team Liquid's the second best team? Or one of the top two best teams? But that isn't the case in NA where they're doing it traditionally, right?
The better question would be, do we think Cloud9 is the second best? Say if let's just say we believe TSM is the best team. Do we think Cloud9 is the second best team? Potentially, I think
there's
an
argument to be made, yeah.
So like if we had this ULCS format, Cloud9 would at least be... Actually, no, Team Liquid would go right to finals as the first seed, right? So, fuck, so it wouldn't matter.
Yes, and then it would be TSM Cloud9 again? Question mark?
Wait, how does that work? Yeah, what the fuck? No, wait.
No, don't no, one and Liquid, two...
Team
don't
Liquid
one
wouldn't
and,
have... Wait.
Don't one and two wait, play, and then the winner goes to finals, and then, like, whoever won between three and four plays the loser of one and two?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I think, maybe?
Yes.
I thought that's how it worked. Is that one and two play
TSM
and three and four
Liquid,
play?
Either TSM or Team Liquid would be in the finals, and then Cloud9, assuming... would beat the loser of the two, and then the winner of that match would go to the finals against the winner of the first match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there's potential for it being a better format, especially with NA being close, right?
Yeah. I think close between three teams is, like, is key.
Yeah, whereas, like, in EU right now, G2 and Fnatic are by far the best teams. Like, Origins feels, like, a little bit below them.
Yeah, it gives that third team a chance as opposed to just the top two.
Hmm. I guess, but for NA, which we kind of spoiled, Team Liquid 3-0'd FlyQuest, and TSM had a really close series where they reverse swept Cloud9. That was an awesome set to watch. Team Liquid's set was so boring. FlyQuest is just not nearly as good of a team as they are. So the finals are going to be Team Liquid and TSM, which I'm excited for.
Yeah, who do you think will win?
I think it's going to be TSM, honestly, but who knows? They've kind of played sloppy in a couple of those games.
Yeah, I don't know. It just feels like Team Liquid is kind of unbeatable.
I'm rooting for Vulcan this year.
I do think TSM like is more hungry for it. If that's like that's such a like a gimmicky like journalist thing to say, but
yeah,
I do feel like their players like want it more after not doing very well last season, right?
Yeah, but it's so hard to count against like specifically Double Lift's team.
Yeah.
In a like playoff scenario.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I feel like the lanes actually go pretty even head to head, though. Honestly, if you like look at it,
I think so.
Like even actually, I think they're even. Like, oh, I think Bjergsen's like slightly better than Jensen mid. Actually, like a fair bit better than Jensen mid.
I think in a solo lane, but I think Jensen plus Xsmithie is better than Bjergsen plus
Acadian.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I actually think Broken Shard or Broken Blade and Broken Blade and Impact are actually relatively close too. I feel like Impact's a better player, but Broken Blade has more like IS diversity in his picks, right?
It is playoffs Impact.
Yeah, but tanks aren't as meta as they should be.
Yeah.
And then I think bottom lane's actually pretty close too. I fucking think Smoothie's so good. I think Core JJ is better than Smoothie. I think Smoothie is really good though. And then I think Sven and Doublelift are. I think Doublelift is better than Sven, but not by much.
I don't think bot lane is as close as you do, but I think bot lane. It's not a bot lane like centric meta right now.
Yeah.
So it really doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. It's just whoever's gonna pick Jarvan loses. Did you see that? The stats for Jarvan.
Oh boy.
1-9.
Stop picking Jarvan.
I feel bad for like people on Reddit saying like fucking stop picking Jarvan. He's 1-9 in the West. Obviously they're picking because it was working in scrims or something, right?
I mean, I honestly think Jarvan is a good champion right now, but I think on a competitive level, why not play him like Hecarim? Like go in, just do a fuck ton of damage, die with your GA, and then get out.
Mm-hmm.
Or with Zilean. I think Zilean Jarvan is a disgusting combo.
Yeah, Zilean's fucking gross and competitive. I'm so sad Silas like got nerfed so hard because I hate seeing Zilean competitive, by the way. I think he's really boring. But having Silas as a counter pick where you can just steal his ult and then that's such a fucking cool mechanic.
You steal his ult and you're just a better character?
Yeah, it's so good.
I did like that. What do you think about seeing so much Zoe? I don't have a problem with her, but a lot of people are upset that she's still playable.
I feel like she's so bad in solo queue that I don't care seeing her in competitive. Like, I feel like she makes for, like, when your favorite player gets one hit by Zoe Q from across the screen, you're pretty upset. But she does make for some pretty fucking cool plays.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I hope she probably will get nerfed again, which I'm fine. I'm fine with not seeing her, but I feel like people are overreacting to seeing her in the game.
Yeah, I think there's definitely counterplay. Like, dodge's asleep and she basically can't kill you.
Yeah. But
what do I know?
It's just, see the Nisqy play where he killed Sven, took the flash, then flashed
out? Yeah, that was so sick. It's like, that's such a smart play that no other character in the game could do.
Yeah.
Like, you have to go deeper to get out to safety.
Ugh. Yeah, I'm excited, though. I feel like it's going to be an awesome finals, honestly.
Yeah, I honestly could see both of these series going, like, at least 4 games, if not 5, for both of them.
So does EULCS, like, is it a week longer or are both the games on the weekend? I don't really know, actually.
They should be both this weekend, right? Because MSI is starting soon.
Yeah, just they're not on the schedule, I guess, is a weird thing. Oh, yeah, here they are. Yeah. They're on Sunday for EU.
Ah. All right, both games are on Sunday?
Semifinals are on Saturdays. Finals are on Sunday. Whereas
okay.
NA only has finals, which is weird. Because there's no third, fourth place match.
Wait, really?
So if you go to San Jose to watch TSM Team Liquid, you get to watch one game.
You get to watch one series, yeah.
That's kind of shitty.
Why is there no third, fourth place match? I thought they had separate points rankings. Unless they got
away. Not anymore. I think they're the same now, yeah.
That's dumb.
Still just have it for people to watch, though.
Yeah. I would watch it. I feel like FlyQuest Cloud9 would be interesting. I feel like it'd be like, I think Cloud9 would win, but wouldn't be that as close as, it wouldn't be as like far of a game as Team Liquid FlyQuest.
I guess, what's the downside? Like, oh no, we have to host one more series with more viewers seeing more ads.
it's kind of, I guess, the whole idea of, like, you're already out, so who cares? But if there's points, then I feel like it does matter, so.
Yeah.
It's like the whole Worlds thing, right? Like, at Worlds, the reason why they don't have a third place match is because, well, you're not the winner, right? Like, you're out of the tournament,
yeah,
right?
Which makes sense. Which makes sense.
I feel like they're trying to apply that here, but it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, especially when there's implications, like, further down the road.
Like, do we think Cloud9 and FlyQuest should get the same amount of points this season?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
I think Cloud9 faced possibly a better team in TSM, took them to more games, and looked like a better team overall, but...
And would have done better against FlyQuest if they went head-to-head, yeah.
Yeah, we're literally one game out of making the finals.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Yeah, that's weird.
Hey, we're not Riot, so what can we say?
I might wake up early for the SKT Griffin match, though.
Ooh, it's gonna be so good.
Yeah.
Ooh. So hype.
Ooh.
So hype.
I feel like SKT is gonna it's the same day, if Saturday, but it starts at 4.
Ooh. Maybe I'll do that as well. Yeah. Let's do it. Let's plan on doing it.
Hell yeah.
So it's this Saturday, 4 a.m.?
4 a.m., yeah. Well, 3 a.m. for you.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, I'll be up anyway.
Yeah, just go to bed after the series is over. Mm-hmm. It's going to be so sick.
Ugh. Yeah. Nice. Cool.
Speaking of things that are sick, Brian's email in Mail Fight. So prior to listening to your advice, this is in regards to Nico. He played 5 ranked games and won 2, and after listening, he played 8 games and won 6 with a 5-game win streak. Big thanks for helping me to adapt to a new playstyle. Here's another question for you. I mostly play AD carry and flex Q, and we have gotten to the point where my lack of knowledge in matchups and items is hindering me. Do you guys have a good AD carry YouTuber you could recommend? I enjoy Fi a lot, but he just tends to do the top 10 best X-type videos. Thanks, Brian. This is tough because I don't watch a lot of, like, League YouTubers. I think primarily I just watch Mo, but he doesn't play AD carry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say probably your best bet is to just, like, watch some AD carries on stream and kind of just replicate. I think a lot of times those choices on AD carry are, like, weird and tough to make, and I can't think of any, like, specific people that I could really recommend for that.
I mean, Doublelift puts out videos, but they're kind of in the, like, oh, 10-minute, this is, like, 2 games where wacky stuff happened.
Yeah, content creator stuff rather than, format, like, competitive. Yeah. I feel like, yeah, there's not, like, a ton of popular... I guess I'm a Cutie Pie is the most popular AD carry streamer, other than... I guess Tyler won as well, but... I don't know, I feel like they played not... It's not like they're going to teach you League of Legends.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh, that's a really hard one. I feel like there's tons of mids and tons of tops to teach League, but... I would also recommend watching supports play as well. I feel like that helps you out a lot. Like, learning what supports want to do and what they're building, what's their purpose, why, when they want to engage, when they want to play safe. Like, that will help you out a lot as an AD carry. Mm-hmm. Or even playing support yourself, like, a ton. I feel like that would also help.
Yeah, and for items, I feel like maybe just going to pro builds and looking at specific games, like, oh, why did Doublelift build a Ma this game when he didn't build that any other game? Like, that I'm seeing. Oh, there's 4 AP characters on the other team. Like, something like that would help with itemization. Otherwise, it's just kind of, you got to get out there and experiment. But yeah, thanks, Brian. Your sample size is rather small, but it's nice to see that we could help you with that. Hopefully the winning ways continue.
All right, so next email here. And there's a couple ways I could go about saying this name. And I think it's like Toucha My Spaghet is what he's going for.
No.
What do you think it is?
Toucha My Spaghet.
Toucha My Spaghet. Okay, that's what you think it is? Are you sure it's not Touch Amy Spaghet? Are you sure it's not Touch Amy Spaghet?
No, I don't think it should be. I don't think it should be.
Touch Amy Spaghet. Touch Amy Spaghet.
There's a lot of ways I could go with it. No, yeah, but I think it's
that last part that way.
I think it's Touch My Spaghet is what he was going for Touch My Spaghet. Anyway, that's his name. and waking up next to my boy Silas is my game. I took him out and agreed that Bush did 9/11. He was so ecstatic to meet a fellow conspiracy theorist that he chained me up and did things that your virgin ears aren't allowed to hear. Yeah, well, Aiden and I can't do that because we played Sonteric, so.
Yeah.
Also, I heard someone say the mistake they make often is trusting a bad pick in Champ Select. What do you do in that instance? I don't want to dodge, but if you ban him and claim ignorance, oh, I didn't see you picked Garen mid. They usually end up picking something worse or going on a toxic rampage and anting. Is dodging the only way to escape this trap?
And that's the end of the email. Sorry, I realized that could be...
Yeah.
I think, personally, more often than not, that person picking something weird is either A, smurfing, or B, pretty comfortable with that pick. As long as it's not something like, oh, Disco Nunu, because clearly that's going to feed. But if it's something weird like mid-Garen, maybe someone higher elo is playing something weird. Whenever I smurfed on one of my accounts, all I played was like stupid stuff. So I'd play AP Soraka mid. I'd play AP Sion mid, like before or after the rework. Just like, because I'm playing to have fun, but still doing like pretty well. So I think... I don't know. Go for it. And maybe you'll see something interesting that you want to pick up and try.
Or it'll make a better story when it like completely collapses. Like when you see mid-Garen go 0-10, you go, hey friends, guess what I had today? A mid-Garen.
Yeah, and then like if you lose, you have someone to blame.
Yeah, exactly. To,
like, looking at what you could have done better, you can just say, this Garen,
No, I think it's either dodge or you believe in it. That's the reality. I feel like don't ban your teammate characters. Usually that's worse.
Yeah.
You can look them up if anything. If someone like hovers mid, I don't know, mid Janna, and you look him up and he only plays Janna, maybe you let him play Janna mid. If he does, he has never played a Janna game in his life, then maybe you ban Janna or maybe you dodge.
Yeah.
It's kind of up to you.
Fair. But I do think banning their champion is a quick way to lose a game.
I agree. I definitely rather dodge. Or you can ban it and then, like, you see what the reaction is. If they seem chill, you're good. If they seem mad, just dodge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend that, though.
You definitely can't get away with ignorance anymore after they change the, like, it's actually grayed out the champion's portrait. So you can't get away with that excuse anymore. Last question is from Pards Bay, and he said, so a few questions. First one. Might be one that has been asked before, so if you just want to point me to the episode instead of answering, feel free. How do you think esports compares to traditional sports in a normie view? Will they ever be considered on the same level? Should they be on the same level? Another question, give me like your top three or one, if you don't have three, video games that you would consider your favorite or best. So first part, I don't think esports will ever be viewed in the same way that traditional sports should. And I don't know if they should.
Or they have to.
Or they have to. I guess like, they should. But from a normal person's point of view, I don't think they should. Or they will.
I don't think it matters, though. Like, who cares if they're considered normal sports or not? You have people like the Olympic committees like trying to fight to get like shit like Overwatch and stuff in like the Olympics. But that's because the Olympics are a fucking money grab and they see how much money like games are making as esports. So I don't know if you want to consider that traditional sports. I mean, then they're trying to become traditional sports, but I feel like they'll never be respected on that level. And I feel like they don't have to, though.
I feel like the only time they should be considered a traditional sports is legally. So that way they don't have any issues with like visas and things like that.
Yeah, I think they should be treated like legally that way. But I think culturally probably won't be, or at least... not for a very long time. But I think, you know, hey, it'd be nice if there was like a really well-developed like college scene. Kids could go to school on league scholarships. And like, if, again, there wasn't like issues with visas, so you could come play professionally in like the United States, like that'd be nice. Do I think that it's ever going to hit the same point as like baseball and football? That's tough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really thought it was cool. Like a couple of weeks ago, I saw Overwatch on TV, like just on like a regular channel.
Oh, yeah,
like the Overwatch League, and I was like, "That's fucking cool." And of course, like that you see really all those cool comments of like people who like pay for their sports network subscriptions and they have like video games on it being pissed. But I mean, I think it's really fucking cool to see video games on TV. Like if League was on like TV, I would try to tune in on there to like support it, I think.
Vegas, or not Vegas, I'm sorry. ESPN has traditionally streamed at least the Street Fighter portion of Evo most years.
That's awesome.
Which is sick, yeah. Nice. And then finally, what's our top three video games? I'm going to make the addendum not including League. Because I think League would absolutely be included in my top three.
It should be, regardless to all three of us, even if we don't want to admit it.
Mm-hmm. So aside from League, what are our top three video games? Let me go to my Steam list real quick.
Mine's easy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The Witness is number one. Number two and number three are kind of like a mix up between the two. But Kingdom Hearts 2 or Kingdom Hearts 2.5 or however you want to like specify that game. And then my third would be Halo 3.
Okay.
So for me, let me think. I feel like Tekken 3 is definitely in there because that was one of the ones I like just played so much of as a kid, and like one of the few games I was took the time to like try and get better at as opposed to like just play it once to beat it kind of thing. I feel like Minecraft is probably there too. I've got a lot of good memories in Minecraft. And like it's just one of those you can always come back to and have a good time. And then that last one is tough if I have to come up with a third, because like there are a lot of games I've played like tons of on Steam, and there's also like plenty of games I played like a bunch on like handheld as a kid, like the Pokemon games or like Fire Emblem games I played a lot of when I was younger. That's really tough to say. So I'm gonna leave it at those two, and the third is undecided right now.
Okay. I'm going to say Oblivion. Game's great. I'm gonna say, despite it being perceived as worse than other parts of its series, Mass Effect 3. Okay, I'm going to take out Oblivion, Mass Effect 3. I'm going to throw in Dark Souls. And I'm going to toss in Modern Warfare 2. I don't know if it's nostalgia, but that game, in my head, is perfect.
Imagine putting Mass Effect 3 in your top three games of all time.
I think I personally did not have an issue with the ending as much as other people.
What color did you choose? Blue, green, or red?
I can't remember at this point.
Ooh. Sounded impactful.
I mean, honestly, all three of them at one point. But like the journey to that point is, I think, more than made up for it.
Marauder Shields is a really good last boss. Probably best last boss of any game.
Mm-hmm. Plus, it's got Keith David. Fuck, dude. Keith David is actually fucking awesome. Yeah.
Cool.
Modern Warfare 2 Remaster win.
Yeah, we're not going to fucking multiplayer on it, though, so I don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll still probably get it if you want to play, like, Spec Ops, because I feel like playing through Spec Ops would be fun as fuck.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Those Spec Ops missions were fucking bullshit.
Hell yeah.
I thought of a third, StarCraft Brood War.
Oh.
I played a lot of StarCraft Brood War back in the day.
Hmm.
Like, in terms of, like, amount of time in-game, it's definitely, for me, like, number one, League of Legends. Number two is probably StarCraft Brood War. And then like probably number three is RuneScape.
Sick. I didn't realize you played so much RuneScape.
I mean, I played a lot like way back in the day, like between like probably like first grade to like sixth grade. Like I, played RuneScape every day. You know, like that was my game, right? And then like after that, StarCraft was my game, and I played mostly like the custom maps of StarCraft, where there was like MOBAs built into it, or like, strategy or tower defense. Like I played a lot of those. I didn't really ever get great at like actual classic StarCraft. And then like after StarCraft was my game for, I think like 3 or 4 years, then it was League. And that's been my, my primary game since. Right.
Yeah. Nice. All right. That's it for this episode. Thanks for listening. If you like us, you can follow us on Twitter at LeagueCast and at LeagueCastFrost. On Facebook, we are LeagueCast. TeamSpeak is where we hang out, ts.leaguecastpodcast.com. You can also get access to our Discord by sending an email to mail@leaguecastpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitch at twitch.tv/bluebasket and at twitch.tv/kinglardout. And support us on Patreon, patreon.com/leaguecast. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next
week. Wait. I got one more thing. Yeah. Even if you don't like us, you should still follow us on Twitter and Facebook out of spite.
Let us know why our show sucks.
Do you want to delay us for 10 more seconds so that we can get a full hour show in?
Hell no.
Yeah.
Because it's a 20-second intro.
I think we count. Ready?
Okay. We're good. Right now, it's done. We have 20 seconds. We're good. We're over an hour.
Three.
We did it. Okay.
Goodbye. Bye. Four. Good episode.